It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Running on this 22nd day of July 2021, this is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. And that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between the Great Globe Round. Or whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. That works, too. If you happen to wander by the chat room, you'll be greeted by the early arriving crew. That's Anatole and Jeremy and Otto and Roger and Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton and Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a Third Stage Guild Navigator, well, Third Stage Guild Navigators know better than to fold space into a boiling nebula. And Sparky is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. We've had a couple of really information packed and couple of great programs last couple of days, and I hope tonight will be the same again. It is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we've got a veritable briar patch of thorns out there. But before we jump into all of that, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we send out thanks to our subscribers for the 22nd day of the month on PayPal. That means thanks to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of Southern California. Thank you, Felicia, and thank you to Colin. Thank you so very much. Those are our two subscribers for the 22nd day of the month, and very, very grateful I am, and all of us in the community are, for you. Thank you very kindly. That leaves our fundraising goal to catch up with the week at $800. That means we've funded Monday and one-third of Tuesday, and now we've got to do Wednesday and Thursday and the other two-thirds of Tuesday to come up even, so that we're not looking at some terrifying number for Friday on the front porch. I hope we can do that. Jeffrey leads off the evening's journal, getting us started.
Oh, yes, Robin, I must tell you that after seeing you last night in that stunning red dress, I feel no need for any redress. However, I must address the fact that I became earwormed with the commercial from the Red Robin restaurant. As all night long, all I could hear in my ear was that commercial, Red Robin. I must say you appeared dashing and debonair in your lovely red dress. Very good, Jeffrey. Well, I like you did with what you did with the red dress and the redress. And yeah, okay, that's a low-grade jingle, but it was just a T-shirt. It's not actually a dress. But, well, last night, Steve in New York was speaking about still having compassion for those who have ignored the virus by refusing to be vaccinated. Steve mentioned that what makes us liberals is the fact that we have compassion even though these people are behaving in a wanton and reckless manner and demonstrating no care or concern for themselves, let alone their fellow Americans.
We on the left still have empathy for these people and their families, even after they refuse to listen to the logic of Dr. Fauci and the CDC imploring them to get vaccinated. That's what makes us good people, considering we behave more like Christians than they do. As far as I can see, these so-called right-wing, God-fearing Christians that pollute the Republican Party are neither God-fearing nor Christian. At the end of the day, these so-called Christians have no compassion and do not care if they kill people until this disease kills them or one of their family members. Good for you, Steve, for still having compassion for these people. Sadly, many of these thorn-in-the-side idiots are being duped by monsters such as Tucker Carlson and Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And meanwhile, as Robin has mentioned, most of these people at Fox have received the vaccine. You can damn well bet that Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Trader Green Q-Ball and Matt It Only Gates Better have also been vaccinated, even as they're stumping all over the country on their anti-vaccine bullshit crusades. As it so happens, Steve and I have never met, but we were actually in the same room 5 years ago when Mike Malloy came to New York City for a visit with Tara Devlin. The one thing I wanted to convey to Mike that day was this. Even though you hate Christianity, you, Mike Malloy, are more Christian than the majority of these people who claim Christianity. Mike, your passion, compassion, and concern for your fellow man is off the charts. In regards to socialism and Christianity, one man put it best many years ago.
Yes, approximately 100 years ago, a man by the name of Eugene V. Debs stated, "Why, you are wondering, what is socialism? Socialism is merely Christianity in action." Eugene Debs is correct, and if these so-called Christians were really Christians, they would embrace socialism, not condemn the notion. I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, maintain that the only true Christians are socialists.
Good job, Jeffrey. I think you're right. And one last notion from Giraffe.
Oh, and by the way, Eugene Debs was actually arrested in my hometown of Canton, Ohio, in 1895 for disturbing the peace with one of his raucous campaign rallies. Debs would actually run for office from prison. Let's hope Donald Jail Trump is in prison when he attempts to run for president in 24. Well, here, and a cowbell to that, Jeffrey, although God knows Donald J. Trump, the J stands for jail, is no Eugene V. Debs. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 22nd day of July, with Giraffe attempting to socialize the morons. And, well, there's nothing quite like a challenge, to say the least. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joey, for the Save Socialism Challenge. If that's met, we will be down to $780, and we will be $20 further toward funding Tuesday. But, by the way, Randy Radar said, Hotels.com advertises on TV that canceling reservations is free. Regarding making reservations for the Hornet, only 50% of the U.S. population is vaccinated currently. 70% or 80% is necessary for herd immunity, and thus the Delta variant will make a viral comeback. A further lockdown may be necessary. I hope it isn't, but so far, well, not so much on the Hornet. Maybe folks will have a change of heart, but I don't know. And the fact of the matter is, there won't be any more lockdowns. I mean, there won't. And because remember, we didn't act to say there another a further lockdown. No, how can there be a further lockdown when there hasn't been one in the first place? It was tepid at best. It was really a sort of It's like bringing a fly swatter into a room and expecting all the flies to die. There was no lockdown. There just wasn't. There was a brief and minor inconvenience, and the American people handled that not at all well. But all of this does provide us with an entree into some of the stuff that I'd planned on getting into this evening anyway, because for some reason or another, now it seems that, well, there's even more and more anti-vaxxer news, or I don't know, we could call it today in COVIDiot.
So, of course, the headline begins with Florida man. And you know it's just going to be nuts. James Owens of Jacksonville, Florida, is 41 years old. And back on the 4th of July, he threw a big 4th of July bash, and he got up the next morning and figured he'd had too much because he thought he had a badass hangover. I can see where one would make that mistake. But then he got so sick he couldn't breathe. And the next thing you know, he's in the hospital, according to WJAX-TV. He said, last week the ambulance had to come to the house. My lungs had completely locked up. And the fact of the matter is, the University of Florida Medical Center is absolutely awash in COVID-19 cases. Their COVID patients number has tripled over the past 2 weeks. Two-thirds of the hospital's beds have COVID, to the extent that they're not bad. Yeah, COVIDiots. They have COVIDiots in two-thirds of the beds. And that's even more than the peak of the pandemic in January. WJAX-TV interviewed Chad Nielsen, who is an infectious disease epidemiologist at University of Florida Medical Center. And Chad said, we had 125 cases on any given day. We surpassed that several days ago. And almost all of the patients are unvaccinated. And meanwhile, Mr. Owen, James Owen, who thought he had a hangover, said, after seeing the way it's beating me down like this to next to nothing, I'm definitely for the vaccination now. Yeah, now he is. Kind of like what was the doctor's name yesterday from Alabama? Seemed like a really, really good human being. She said, right before I intubate him, they asked for the vaccine, and, well, I have to explain to him, honey, now it's too late. And then 2 weeks later, she fills out their death certificate. Well, maybe James Owen's going to make it. I'm doing much better trying to breathe right now, but I have to remind myself to breathe because the lungs are still a long way from healing. Meanwhile, his spouse, she's home alone. Well, she's not really alone. She's home, and the virus is staying with her. And there's been a road to Damascus moment for James Owen. He told the TV station, I guess it attacks whoever it wants to at this point. Well, yeah, kind of, James, but not entirely. Not really. I mean, it attacks vaccinated people, and people with the Pfizer and the Moderna, they got about a 6-7% chance of being infected. And they mostly don't go into the hospital when they're infected. So it does. It attacks anybody it wants to, but it can't make anybody that it wants to sick. That's reserved for the unvaccinated COVIDiots. And I was thinking about this earlier today, and I just wanted to point out that one of the most obnoxious things about the anti-vaxxers in this country is that there are a lot of people who are unvaccinated around the world. I mean, I guess this is the 2021 equivalent of the eat your broccoli, there are people starving on this planet lecture that was given to people like me when I was like 5 years old. I didn't have to be lectured. I liked my broccoli. I've never been a picky eater. But no, eat, clean your plate. There are people starving on this planet. And it's absolutely, that was true then, it's true now. Remember, hunger is a choice that we make in this world. It is not an inevitability, just like homelessness. But the 2021 version is, get your damn vaccine. There are people all over this planet that would crawl across ground glass for a vaccine and can't get one. See, it's sad and horrifying when somebody gets the virus and can't get the vaccine. That's how we wound up with hundreds of thousands dead
at the hands of COVID Caligula up to and past January the 20th, 2021. There was no, you know, there were, the vaccine was announced in what, December? Something like that? Yeah. And the frontline healthcare workers, essential workers, people checking out groceries in grocery stores, stocking shelves, dealing with assholes the whole nation over, they yearned for a vaccine. And now there is one. And early on, it was hard to get because they were ramping up production, the companies were. And I was thrilled in the middle of March when we got an appointment to go and get our vaccines, Agnes and me. And all three of my daughters are vaccinated. Because it's the smart thing to do. And it was a struggle to get vaccinated. Like I said, in West Virginia, initially we did a halfway decent job of vaccinating people who worked in hospitals and nursing homes and doctor's offices, even construction workers who worked around on construction projects around nursing homes and hospitals. They were vaccinated. But then we hit a wall. The older generation largely got vaccinated, and that includes people like me. I didn't hesitate. I didn't have a single second thought. But once you get much below my generation, the vaccine rates go through the floor, and they remain there. West Virginia is not over 50% vaccinated. We're somewhere in the 40 neighborhood, maybe the high 40s. But part of that is because we have one of the oldest populations of any state in the union. That accounts for it being as high as it is, and it's not nearly high enough. And, I mean, you know there's a problem in a place like Appalachia when they offer to give away a free vacation, free trip to Dollywood, or maybe a free shotgun or a free hunting rifle or a free pickup truck, and people still won't get it? The hell is wrong with them? Well, I hate to sound like somebody who stands outside and says, "Get off my lawn!" and yells at clouds and so forth. But there is a portion of the population that not only doesn't remember polio, but damned well can't even spell it. What is that them real expensive shirts they sell down to the really snobby stores, got the little fella riding the horse on it? Is that one of them? That's that Ralph Lauren polio shirts. I wish I was kidding. And the vast majority of people who are unvaccinated are, of course, maggots, Trump voters. And it's heartbreaking. There's a disconnect for me. I cannot for the life of me figure out why it is that anybody would listen to a word that Nitwit Nero says and believe him, because he's a serial liar. He's been a liar all his life. Good God, he was up past 20,000 lies when he finally got run out of the White House. And he continues to lie to this day. Maybe you've heard the audio by now. Sparky hipped me to it earlier. And you just sit there and listen, and all you can do is say to yourself, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God." Because Sparky said, "Can you believe it? I can." Because Carol Lenig and Philip Rucker, who wrote "I Alone Can Fix It," and will soon be able to retire to a small island in the Caribbean if they so want, based on the sales of this thing. I assume it's selling like wild. They showed up talking to Anderson Cooper last night, and they brought their audio recordings of Nitwit Nero with them. And hopefully we'll get to some of that audio here in a minute. The poor Anderson Cooper was just gobsmacked. And Carol Lenig and Philip Rucker were patient and patiently explained. But then they ran the audio of their, you know, because they recorded the interview with Trump, and he's so far gone, he didn't realize. Did he realize what a fool he was making himself out to be? You know, Anderson Cooper said, it's like listening to Nixon drunk rambling, only Trump's not drunk. Well, I mean, Anderson, come on. Drunk, no, he claims to be a teetotaler. I don't know if I believe that or not. But we do have firsthand eyewitness information that he's a speed freak. He's an Adderall junkie. And that will, it addles your mind differently, but it will addle your mind every bit as much as, you know, sucking down a 1.75 of old panther piss. It ain't good. And so, from this dude in Jacksonville saying, well, I guess it attacks whoever it wants at this point. Well, yeah, because people like you made it so that it could and would. You know, this is not a boating accident, for fuck's sake. And while Dr. Brittany Cobia, in the article, and thank you for reminding me of her name, Lee in New York, while she said, they're asking for it, and some people are learning after they see a loved one die, it is by no means universal. There are still plenty of assholes out there. And so in a CBS affiliate in Louisiana, Stan did a package, or CBS did a package, CBS This Morning, about vaccines in Louisiana, because Louisiana is absolutely on fire with the Delta variant. I was wrong. It was not more than just 20,000. Lee says, nitwit numbers. I hate to correct you again on numbers, but the former guy who believes that 74 million is more than 80 million lied even more in one term. He lied in one presidential term. He lied over 30,000 times. So just as an example, let's go down to Louisiana, Stan, and check in with Scott Rowe, who got the Rona and then developed severe pneumonia, and he wound up in the hospital. He's just finally gone home. I guess that's more of that COVID pneumonia that Sandy Rios of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, was talking about. You know, that's Donald Wildman's or outfit. It's been taken over by the son of Wildman, Wildman's son. Just a reminder, they got their start throwing hissies about cartoons. No, really. Because you got to be pissed off about something. Let's check in with the CBS piece here, just so we can see. It's here. You know, don't take my word for it. Let's just hear Scott Rowe, shall we? Do let's.
Am I going to get a vaccine? No.
Why not?
Because there's too many issues with these vaccines.
This father, former baseball coach, small business owner, and hunter, caught COVID and then he developed pneumonia.
Before you got sick, if you would have had a chance to get the vaccine and prevent this, would you have taken the vaccine?
Nope.
So you'd have gone through this?
I'd have gone through this, yes, sir. Don't shove it down my throat. That's what's local, state, federal administration is trying to do. To shove it down your throat.
No, dumbass, what they're shoving down your throat is a fucking tube for you to be able to breathe. It's called intubation. It's horizontal crucifixion, dumbass. And apparently he wasn't intubated. But you hear that? Oh, there's still too many issues with this vaccine. What? What, Dr. Baseball Coach? What are those issues as compared to, say, being dead? I mean, I guess there's some sort of newsworthy value in showing people, millions of people, that level of idiocy. Maybe people, oh, they're going to shove it down my throat. God damn. Republicans are obsessed with having things shoved down their throats. I mean, how many times do they see deep throat to have it make that much of an impression on them? Well, wait a minute there. Good God, fear enough, standard Bible, believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians. So they've, you know, probably got it on a loop somewhere. Watched it a lot. I'm going to shove it down the throat. I'd go through this all over again. How about the intubation part? Would you like to be, let's do that now. Let's go ahead and intubate you, because that's what's going to happen the next time you get it, because you can get it again. You sure can. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, you can. Shove it down my throat. And he's not going to learn. And again, tens of millions of Americans just like him. And it just goes on and on. But not everybody who rejects the vaccine is a maggot. This is a horrifying story. Martin Daniel, aged 53, and his wife, Trina Daniel, aged 49, are now dead. Within 3 hours, they each died on July the 6th. They were married for 22 years. They had children who weren't yet grown. And, well, those children are going to have to sort it out for themselves now. Because mommy and daddy both died, and mommy and daddy both rejected the vaccine. And I'd like to hope they weren't maggots. They were well-educated. And they were African Americans. Mr. Daniel, the 53-year-old Mr. Daniel, was a graduate of Tuskegee University down in Alabama. And he and his spouse of 22 years, Trina, rejected the vaccine because of the Tuskegee experiment. You may recall Tracy talking about that earlier in an earlier conversation. And it is one of the most vile, dark, revolting moments in American history. Tracy talked about it at length. How they tricked black men from the areas surrounding Tuskegee. They told them they were going to give them free health care, and instead they gave them syphilis. Because some scientists wanted to see what syphilis would do when it was left untreated and just allowed to run its course. And as Tracy pointed out, this began in the 1930s, and it was still going on by the time the Tuskegee Airmen were learning to fly in the Second World War. Criminal. I mean, really, what it was a crime against humanity. And it's one of many. But based upon that, Martin and Trina Daniel decided not to get the vaccine, and they are dead. And their children are orphans. And this brings to light, of course, what anti-vaxxers are doing right now. And one of the things they are doing is they're hustling something that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is pushing, and that is a fake documentary that is aimed directly at the black community and makes hay out of the Tuskegee experiment, the Tuskegee crime, and uses that to bootstrap the idea that people should not get vaccinated. I don't have any linkage in this story to the idea that Mr. and Mrs. Daniel had been exposed to the anti-vaxxism of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But if you Google Tuskegee experiment, COVID vaccine, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., shit starts popping up. And of course, when I saw this horror story, that's the first thing I thought of. And how many more are there? How many? And going forward, almost, you know, until there's a variant that attacks vaccinated people at the same levels it attacks the unvaccinated. In other words, that is to say, until there's a variant that comes along that is utterly resistant to every vaccine we have out there now, and none of them are so far. Efficacy is reduced by things like the Delta variant, but not to zero. Well, until that time, north of probably 95% of the deaths that COVID produces are going to be among the unvaccinated, and particularly among Republicans and among maggots. I don't know if it's going to kill enough to affect election results, say, in 2022, but God Almighty. The story of Mr. and Mrs. Daniel was reported by WSB-TV in Atlanta. They were from Henry County, Georgia, Mr. and Mrs. Daniel were. Now, because this is so, in so many ways, a failed state, there's a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for Mr. and Mrs. Daniel's 18-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter who have been orphaned by the fears of their parents. And Melanie Daniel was interviewed by WSB, and she said within a couple of days they were no longer with us. Just gone. 2 days. Mr. Daniel's nephew, Cornelius Daniel, said, "Just tying these two events together and understanding the historical context of what's going on, it really wears on me sometimes." Cornelius Daniel said he was hesitant, but they got the vaccine, and said it is imperative that we see the importance of the vaccinations. Down in Georgia, Stan, since July 5th, the increase in confirmed cases of COVID reported as a daily number is up 505%. Over the same time period, the number of people getting vaccinated in Georgia has fallen by 39%. Melanie Daniel said, "We've had to deal with a lot of loss simply because of choice to be vaccinated versus not." And that's not, you know, that's not freedom of choice. That's not free will. We're talking about people who have been, who basically had their lives stolen from them. By deliberate acts of disinformation, by stochastic terrorism. Our pal O'Pipe Down over on Twitter says, "Vile RFK Jr. propaganda. There's a whole yoga cult out of L.A. pushing that documentary. I ran into one member just this weekend."
Why? I mean, does anybody have an answer? This question is not rhetorical. Why? What's in it for them? What do they get out of it? Is there a big payday? I mean, for some of these anti-vaxxers, no doubt there's a payday. But the vast majority, is it a matter of that warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow that we've talked about, that line from, what is it, In the Flesh on Pink Floyd's The Wall? Is that it? Is it the sense of belonging that one gets out of one's particularly stupid peer group? I don't know. If you've got an answer for that, I would dearly love to hear it, because I am completely at a loss. Shove it down my throat. Steve in New York says, think about the question the interviewer asked. Would you have chosen to get the vaccination if you knew you were going to go through this? This guy's so invested in the lie of forced vaccination that he can't help but answer the question of whether he would choose to take it as the government shoving it down his throat. Robin, this is called brainwashed. Yeah, it is. But every question generates a new one. Where did he go to get brainwashed? Who brainwashed him? Was he a regular churchgoer? Did he get it from the pulpit? Because I don't think the local TV affiliates, the local TV news down, even though it's Louisiana Stan, I don't think they're pitching anti-vax stuff. You've got to go to specific swampy corners of the internet. You've got to go to a place like Fox News on cable. You've got to go to Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, or that website that rhymes with light and fart, or any of a number of other, and that's where you get it. And then that yields another question: why do you go there? What do you need there that you can't get somewhere else? And I think finally there's an answer. There you do. You get that warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow, and you feel like you belong to something. And there's somebody there that will reinforce your biases, reinforce your stupidity, reinforce your bigotries. It's one-stop shopping. But now we're learning that turns out to be deadly. Deadly. The Tuskegee experiment, Flavio explains, lasted until it was terminated in 1972. And that was because of a whistleblower, Peter Buxton, a Public Health Service venereal disease investigator in San Francisco. In 1966, he sent a letter to the national director of the Division of Venereal Diseases that expressed his concerns about the ethics and morality of the extended U.S. Public Health Service syphilis study at Tuskegee. And then, with not much going on, he went to the press in the early 1970s. The Washington Star broke the story on July 25, 1972, in an Associated Press report by Gene Heller. It was on the front page of the New York Times on the July the 26th, 1972. Good God, we're just a year short of the 50th anniversary of those publications. And the NAACP eventually filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of the people who participated in the study and their descendants. That was 1974, and the U.S. government paid $10 million and agreed to provide free medical treatment to the surviving participants and surviving family members
infected as a consequence of the study, because they didn't isolate the people that they were secretly studying. They let them spread it. Good God. And as horrifying as it is, that is still not enough. You know, the presence of one, the existence of one thing does not mean that the very same thing is going on. But the number of people in this country who think that this is some sort of grand experiment, to what end, I don't know. If you tune in long enough and can do so without putting an ice pick through your eardrums, I guess over at Fox they'll tell you it's to take away freedom. And, you know, once they've taken away your freedom not to take the vaccinations, then they'll come back and get your guns and your babbles. Yeah. As Dave number 11 points out, the definition of freedom in some circles is not being told what to do. That covers pretty much all idiocracy, Dave notes. Vaxing too. You're not the boss of me! Lee says, cult places where you can get anti-vaccines. Well, you forgot Facebook. Truth. And it's, I mean, it's all over. None of these platforms are doing worth a damn job at keeping people from being subjected to this filth. And I don't know what kind of sick and twisted idea of freedom of expression you have to have in order to think that letting this stuff run wild is somehow supportive of the First Amendment, but that's where we are with people like Mark Zuckerdweeb, defender of freedom of speech. Bullshit. We have long recognized that certain forms of speech can be, for all intents and purposes, a weapon. And that's what this is. I mean, I'm trying to figure out who it is that's experiencing the freedom when people are being effectively poisoned and killed by these expressions. I mean, we've got, you know, you lie to the FBI, you go to prison. Giving false information. Right? You give false information to the local cops, you can be charged. But somehow what Mark Zuckerdweeb and Jack and the others are doing, that doesn't fall within that, the ambit of that sort of legal reasoning? I guess not. Hey, thanks, Uncle Smokey. We are halfway done with Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thank you. That's fantastic. As to the orphaned 18 and 15-year-olds, Lee in New York says, isn't the Republican view, well, hell, an 18-year-old, that's called an adult. Grab them bootstraps and pull yourself up, son. Yeah. And, well, the 15-year-old daughter... Well, I mean, America don't owe her nothing. Actually, America does. Owes her rather a lot. Jeremy in Vermont says, I heard last night that the anti-vax crowd has taken to writing posts with code words to hide their message and make it harder for the spam and conspiracy filters to work. Fuck these people. Why? And I guess it's a dozen or so people, but then they get amplified? What do they think they're... I mean, ultimately, a bunch of them are going to die, but enough will survive that they'll say, see, it was all just exaggerated. And Flavio explains, I merely shared the info on the Tuskegee experiment so as to emphasize that of all people, black Americans have every reason to be wary of whitey, not to excuse. But there's an intellectual disconnect there, Flavio. I don't mean you. I mean Tracy is an Africana studies scholar. Tracy's vaccinated. Our pal Shorty in L.A. is battling her own battle. And she wants people vaccinated because she can't. I know a woman who is fighting for her very life against cancer, can't get the vaccine. And I'm vaccinated, but I worry about being around her. There's so much to worry about. So much. And there are so many of these stories. Understand, I'm not just sitting on stories and then, you know, lumping them all together in one evening. We had a handful of these yesterday. We got a handful of them today. And they didn't all land on the same damn day. The Tuskegee experiment, Ron in Raleigh says, just another example of the lack of structural racism in America. The experiment only lasted for 40 years. We've been fucking with Cuba for 60 years so far. Yeah. I know. And then, there are varying degrees and levels of sickness. You know, Trump daughter-in-law, Lara, L-A-R-A, not L-A-U-R-A, so it's not Laura, it's Lara. She got a gig with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and so they brought her on as a contributor on one of their idiotic shows, Fox and Fiends. Wherein Lara declared her undying hatred of masks.
The idea that we're going to make our children sit in school masked up all day long, I think is absolutely ludicrous. Children aren't coming in contact with germs that they need to develop an immune system. Huh? My daughter, Carolina, last week she had a cold,
Lara Trump went on to say.
Every parent knows that's a nightmare. I have to tell you, I was so thrilled because I know that she's actually getting in contact with viruses and germs and bacteria that will allow her to develop an immune system. This is absolutely insane. As a parent, I can tell you I'm not going to be masking up my children. It's not going to happen.
So, you know, she's got children. I guess she's got one or she can spare. You know, maybe they all three get it. Maybe one of them dies. No, I'm not rooting for that. I don't want it to happen. But when something like that happens, it will be the direct and proximate result of people like Lara Trump. You might recall Dr. Cobia yesterday talking about how she had a sense of impending doom as we come around to the time for schools to reopen in places like Alabama. 60, ciphering, based on the last numbers I saw, something like 66.9% of the population in Alabama is utterly, absolutely, totally, completely unvaccinated relative to COVID-19.
And they're not going to have them children wear no masks. How in the... What about the teachers? I mean, I know times change and everything, but, you know, I told the story a few nights ago about my first grade teacher who accidentally yanked me up out of my seat and paddled the daylights out of me toward the end of it, and she felt horrible about it. But she wasn't vicious, and she was an intelligent woman.
I was blessed to be taught by brilliant women.
I did not have a male teacher until sixth grade, and only one of them. And he taught sixth grade until he got bumped upstairs and became principal. After the guy who had been principal, see, the man is the men got the principal jobs, and the women were the teachers. But I was taught by in brilliantly intelligent education professionals, and they were taught worth, and they were paid worth shit too, because you know it was Alabama. But are the teachers just and I know one here, lovely lady, and ran into her in the grocery store some months back, and she said, you know, I just don't get vaccines, and I'm not going to get this one. You know, I don't take the flu shot, and I don't get the flu. I think I'm immune because I'm around all the children all the time. And I think she may be retired now. Lovely, lovely lady. But holy God. And she said, one of the conversations over the Wiggling Pig, saw her. She said, you voting for Trump? I said, oh no, that man's an idiot. And he's dangerous. She said, you think so? I said, I don't think so. I know so. It is my job to follow current events. And this man, this man shouldn't be trusted with a melting ice cream cone, let alone the nuclear codes. She wasn't about to be swayed. I reckon because Jesus. And Laura Trump has no understanding whatsoever of what this thing does. But how many people will trust her because her last name is Trump, and anything with Trump with Trump attached to it must be true, no matter the 30,000 the direct evidence of the 30,000 lies that the Trump told over the course of 4 years. And so people will listen to her instead of listening to Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, who said, this will be the sickest you have ever been in your life if you survive it. And as noted, there are still people, well, you know, I mean, there's 0.1% chance it's going to kill you. And the longer it moves and the longer it spreads, that chance goes up. Mm-hmm. But there are. These stories are out there every damned day. And what would talking about COVID be if we weren't talking about Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball? She had a hissy against children wearing masks. You heard her laughing about the possibility of children dying from COVID in that clip that I played on the program yesterday. Ha, 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 y'all just, I'll tell you what, you said skinny. God almighty. Well, she took to Twitter today and said, all caps, stop masking children! Well, it turns out that it was an inopportune and inauspicious moment to send that tweet out, because a 5-year-old child in her district, in that benighted, maggoted up district in Georgia, a 5-year-old child had recently died of COVID. Ha 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 ha! I guess she's still laughing, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. But people will believe her over a physician with, God, let's see, undergrad, medical school, that's 8 years, internship 9 years, residency 11 years, maybe at least 12 years of higher education. Yeah, they don't get believed, you know, maybe because they're not saying it and saying MAGA. But then again, you can't say MAGA
and actually encourage people to get the vaccine. It goes on and on and on. There was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who is now a full-on MAGAT member of the House, was elected to the House from Texas. You'll recall he was Candyman in the Trump White House. And he threw a hissy. How come nobody ever asked Democrats if they've been vaccinated? Y'all want to ask everybody Republicans? Because the Democrats have all been vaccinated, dumbass. God almighty. I mean, talk about thorns in the side. Oh, well, thank you. Billable Rick has awarded me a cowbell. That's for Ralph Laurel polio shirts. Thank you, Billable Rick. And thank you very kindly to Jeremy. Jeremy finished off Joey and Giraffe's challenge and put $5 on top of that. And so now, let's see, what is that? We are down to $7.75. And that means that we are $175 away from fully funded for Tuesday. It'd be great if we could be fully funded for Tuesday and then some. Thank you, Jeremy. I hope others will join in with you here as we close out the first hour of the program. Lee in New York says, I had my first male teacher in the fourth grade. He arranged the desks as a U. I sat near the teacher's desk. I kept looking up when other faculty came to the class. The teacher's given name was Lee. Lee, signed Lee, not a fourth grade teacher, in New York City. That, I can see where that would get confusing. But maybe that's the difference in time and place. All the adults called each, when I was in school, in public school down in Alabama, all the adults called each other Mr. and Mrs. and Miss. And eventually Ms. And your first names were strictly off limits. I can't even remember my first grade teacher's first name. Or my third grade teacher, or my fourth grade teacher's. Fifth grade teacher, I remember her first name. The guy in sixth grade, I remember his first name. The other two teachers, no. You know, we weren't supposed to know that. To this day, even though she's only a few years older than me, I still can hardly bring myself to call my 12th grade English teacher by her first name. That kind of training and teaching goes bone deep. God, there's so much. So much stuff to get into this evening. Matt in San Francisco says, have we met? These Republicans who believe the Democrats running our government are executing a grand plan to ram vaccinations down people's throats obviously have not met many Democrats. We can't even organize a protest to focus on one single topic at a time. We also can't seem to move any idea forward without getting stuck in the mansion cul-de-sac. To think we could coordinate something so intricate is proof that they don't know us. Oh, they don't. No. They loathe and despise and fear the Democrats that exist solely between their ears in the thin gray settlings that pass for brains, Matt. Oh, thank you, Alma. Alma's trying to help us knock this down a little bit. There's now a $50 challenge on the table. Thank you, Alma. Thank you so very much. You are a dear friend of the program and have been for a long time, and I thank you for that. So Alma will double the next $50 that comes in, and that'll get us down to $6.75, and it'll only be $75 away from fully funded for 2 days ago. Thank you, Alma. Thank you. Lamar the Magnificent says, my arm hurts. Hey, Robin, I mentioned I caught the COVID in January. I just had my first shot this Monday. You know what? You got your shot, Lamar. That gets a cowbell. Free cowbells for anybody who isn't vaccinated, and free ringings of the cowbells. Cowbell for anybody who hasn't gotten vaccinated but has recently done so. Absolutely. I'm proud of you and proud for you, Lamar. And then there's this dude from, of course, Missouri. ProPublica with the report. State Representative Bill Kidd from the burbs of Kansas City, Missouri. He put up a post on Facebook. He's deleted it since, but ProPublica saw it. He said, "No, we didn't get the vaccine. We're Republicans," with a laughing emoji. And then Branson, Missouri, is in Taney County, T-A-N-E-Y. I presume it's pronounced the same way as the former Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court who authored the Dred Scott decision. May he rot in hell forever. Well, State Representative Brian Seitz, he's a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, maggot Republican. He's from Taney County. He replied, "Well, the jury's still out on the vaccine. Who knows what's in that?" And claiming that the vaccine was developed by Anthony Fauci and, of course, Bill Gates, Brian Seitz said, "They knew what was coming." Well, they did. Because anybody with half a brain can understand that in the world we live in, a vaccine can get around the world faster than it was ever able to do before. Yeah. And so, Seitz and Kidd are part of it. "We don't get the vaccine. We're Republicans." Yeah, because Republicans are not immune. Not immune. Bill the Kid. I guess he doesn't like it when people call him Billy. So, it's no surprise because Brian Seitz comes from a county where Trump won in Missouri by 57.8 percentage points. In the ProPublica article, they quote a political science professor at St. Louis University who said, "It's a sad reality. We can't get together on anything, even fighting COVID, because everything is political. Everything is political." You know what? Republicans and Democrats alike lined up for the polio vaccine. And this goes back to the conversation that I had with Paul from Parts Unknown last night as to whether or not we can get to a place where we can. Yeah. So, it's horrifying. And, places like Alabama and Louisiana Stan and Missouri Stan are going to burn, and they're going to take decent people with them. In yesterday's program, I ran the audio of Rand Paul and that thing on his head getting his ass handed to him. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, they coordinate their talking points
witness Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber hooting about masking children alongside Laura Trump grunting about masking children. Well, enter young jackass Madison Cawthorn, who pretty much lies about everything. Well, they booked him on Newsmuck, where he talked about his fervid desire to prosecute Dr. Fauci, among others.
I want to commend Rand Paul. He's always been a champion of justice, always been a champion of liberty, but his referral to the DOJ, I think, is well-founded. You can just go back and very simply look through the clips of Dr. Fauci speaking back in May or even subsequent months after that, and you can tell he has directly lied to Congress. And so when Dr. Fauci gave, when Dr. Rand Paul gave him the opportunity to actually recant his statements, he declined. And then when Rand Paul started pressing him further and said there will be consequences for those responsible, I'm not sure if you noticed in that clip, but you see his hand start to shake uncontrollably.
Yeah, his hand was shaking because he wanted to come across the table and go all Rand Paul's neighbor on Rand Paul. Young Madison here is not the sharpest bulb in the chandelier. Not by a long shot.
A lot of people say, oh, well, that's uncontrollable rage. No, that is fear. Because Dr. Fauci knows he's been working as a pawn of the Chinese Communist Party. He's been funding through the NIH, which with our tax dollars, what I consider to be militaristic research on how to make an animal virus more transmissible to humans. So I think it's very well founded that we refer this to the DOJ. Jenna, I will just tell you, unfortunately, the DOJ right now is under the control of the Biden administration. So what's going to come of it, I don't know. But I'll tell you, when we take the majority back in 2022, I'll make sure consequences are doled out. But we want to prosecute this guy to the full ability of the law, because I'll tell you, to lie to the American people just to get your name in the news, just to see your face on the cover of books, just to get fame and fortune, I'll tell you, Dr. Anthony Fauci does not deserve either fame or fortune.
What a cuckoo bananas guy. I mean, totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Anthony Fauci, in the ninth decade of his life, is suddenly looking for fame and fortune. Anthony Fauci was working on infectious viruses before the best part of Madison Cawthorn ran down his mama's leg. And we want to prosecute this guy to the fullest. No. I mean, Rand Paul could blather that idiotic bullshit last night, because he knows he doesn't have to deal with the realities. Jesus. And he's also such a genius that yesterday, Maddie Cawthorn, Madman Cawthorn, said, I think we should indict Jill Biden. For what, dipshit? Shall we find out?
You know, I would love to have a congressional inquiry to understand exactly what Joe Biden's reasoning is, but unfortunately, I don't think he can find his way to Congress. I'm talking from a very objective standpoint here. You know, I think we should indict Jill Biden. I'm not saying indict in terms of criminal, but I'm saying that we should call her out for being so cruel to her husband. The man is clearly mentally unstable. He's having some form of degradation of his mind. And
they keep saying this shit, even though they were oblivious to the obvious degradations of the mind of Nitwit Nero, who runs a pretty good chance of going out the same way his daddy did, that is, as a, an Alzheimer's patient. But they overlooked all of that because you can't talk about that in the cult. But this is a tuned-in community. We know what is it that is making these neo-maxi-zoom dweebies think that Joe Biden is not in his right mind. I mean, I'm not being a smartass about this. Because is it his occasional stutter? I mean, he's had that all his life. I'm really kind of... Is this just, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Is this just wholesale lying? Because I kind of got nothing on this. Regarding Dr. Fauci looking for fame and fortune, Brother Deacon Asa says, how about running for president to gain fame and fortune? Do we prosecute those assholes to the fullest extent of the law, too? Well, no, because MAGA, y'all. Wait a goddamn minute, says Jeremy in Vermont. Didn't this guy just do the same thing he claims Dr. Fauci's done? You know, going to the media with lies just to get your name out there and seek fame? I guess Fox viewers really are that goddamn stupid to not hear that as well. I think this was on Newsmuck. But if you thought Fox News TV Radio Rwanda people were dim, the Newsmuck and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground crowd, make Fox viewers look like veritable geniuses. Fair question. Sile Narlamar says, if the people at Six Flags Chemical Spill were wearing masks, how many of them would have been sick? Depends on the mask. Our buddy Laborman has addressed that on a number of occasions. And it's on and on and on with all of this garbage. And it's almost damn difficult to keep up with. I guess the first hour, we can say that the first hour was consumed by today in COVIDiots. And it's not going to be 3 hours of COVIDiocy, I can assure you. But it is a Thursday, and that means we have the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And so I think it might be, it will be. A good thing to check in and see what sorts of horrors they're following. Because work in their corner is pretty much nightmare material. So there's a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Alma. And it would be great if that could be met. We'll check in with Brad and Desi in a second. You're both surprising me and pissing me off, says Steve in New York. Honestly, Robin, are you really asking why Madman Cockthorn and these fuckwads are saying this about Biden with some intention other than being dickheads? Recall, the orange vomit created the moniker Sleepy Joe. He did, but he was just recycling that from, housing and urban development secretary, the guy who thought that the pyramids were grain silos. He called him Sleepy first. Another Cawthorn Thorn, Lee in New York, points out, I was not in the military, but I watched MASH. Let me say this about the most destructive military weapons. Those are all done within our borders. I know this from the tech world. The U.S. blocked the sale of most of the power computers, of the most powerful computers. Imagine this. You want to create a powerful virus. Do you say, hey, foreign country, want to build powerful weapons for us? That ain't going to happen ever. That's true, Lee. Why would we be developing? Oh, Jesus. You know, with the country that has the greatest ability to challenge us on the world stage.
Jeremy in Vermont, laughing. When I hear stories and theories about what's in these COVID vaccines, I often laugh sardonically because I have no words for the stupidity, much as Malloy explained why he does laugh at his stories often on air. It's just fucking stupefying. Yeah, it is. It's... I know. I'm changing my mind, Steve says. I really do fucking hate these people and will rejoice when they die. It's a constant struggle, this whole decency thing, isn't it? As for Anthony Fauci, Steve points out, the entire medical community has known about Fauci for decades. I'm sure Fauci loves the death threats and having to have security as a fucking scientist. I know. I know. Like I said, there's so much stuff. But let's check in. Let's go with the green news, and then we will come back and head off into a different corner of the swamp.
It's Thursday, July 22, 2021.
Weather forecasters say it is the heaviest downpour in 1,000 years.
Deadly floods inundate central Chinese province.
Those explosive wildfires in the West are threatening millions of Americans with potential health problems.
Smoke from massive Western wildfires triggers health alert as far as the U.S. East Coast. Plus, utility PG&E finally pledges to bury its power lines.
Finally?
Finally.
All of those long overdue stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
One study found wildfire smoke like this actually becomes up to 4 times more toxic the farther it travels because of a chemical reaction that takes place in the atmosphere. Doctors say one simple way to protect yourself is by wearing an N95 mask.
Really? Really? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, massive wildfires in the West, huge flooding in Germany and Central Europe just days ago. Now, China inundated with water.
Yes, indeed. A wave of extreme record rains and floods are hitting around the world. Climate scientists have warned for decades that man-made global warming is intensifying extreme rainfall events.
You don't say.
And that is exactly what we're now seeing.
Right.
Germany and parts of Central Europe, as you mentioned, were battered by wildly destructive floods last week. This week, New Zealand's west coast was deluged by 2 months' worth of rain in 2 days. Forcing thousands to evacuate flash floods. Also, Nigeria and Oman in the Middle East have also been hit by extreme rainfall and flash floods. But in central China's Henan province, the scale of a once-in-a-millennium extreme rain event is shocking. 5 national meteorological stations broke historical precipitation records 3 days in a row. One station recorded a year and a half's worth of rain in just 72 hours. That's a higher rate than the storm that hit Germany and far exceeded the capacity of flood control systems. The confirmed death toll is at least 25 as we go to air and includes a dozen who were trapped in subway cars by fast rising waters. The death toll is expected to rise.
Those videos of those people in the subway trying to escape the rising waters was just horrifying, like a terror movie. It was unbelievable what we are now seeing.
At least 12 cities are flooded. Dozens of reservoirs and dams are in danger of breaching. 100,000 have been evacuated. 1 million people displaced from their homes. The floods damaged the world-famous Shaolin Temple and triggered a massive explosion at an aluminum alloy plant. Meanwhile, it is the opposite extreme in eastern Africa. In Madagascar, the most intense drought in 40 years has tipped the region into hunger and famine after repeated crop failures. In the UK, Northern Ireland set a new all-time hottest ever national temperature record this week. The UK's National Weather Service declared an extreme heat warning for the first time ever in its history. In a statement, the Met Office said, quote, "Research shows that as a result of climate change, we are now much more likely to see prolonged spells of hot weather."
This is getting bad, and this is getting quickly
bad.
And smoke from western wildfires has triggered unhealthy air quality warnings across the northern U.S. and Canada, extending as far east as New York City. In Oregon, home to the nation's largest wildfire so far this year, Democratic Governor Kate Brown cautioned residents to protect themselves from the toxic smoke and warned that things are very likely to get worse.
It's mid-July, and already nearly 450,000 acres have burned across the state. The urgent and dangerous climate crisis has exacerbated conditions on the ground. We're seeing extensive drought conditions across the state, with 19 counties in drought emergencies, unprecedented heat waves, and fire seasons that are arriving earlier, coming on faster, and lasting for longer.
But there is some good-ish news. California electric utility giant PG&E has announced it will bury about 10,000 miles of its power lines after acknowledging that its aging equipment possibly touched off the Dixie Fire near the town of Paradise, California, which was destroyed by a fire sparked by PG&E's equipment back in 2018. Burying the power lines is said to be the largest infrastructure project in California history.
Well, I think I know some folks in Washington, D.C. who are preparing to spend some infrastructure money. Let's hope it gets spent quickly, and let's hope someone just puts PG&E out of our misery out here in California. For much more on all of these terrible stories and more that we didn't have time for, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You spent from bad to worse. You spent from bad to worse. You spent from bad to worse.
Funny how those thousand-year flood events just come along every couple of years now, isn't it? Couldn't be climate change, could it? You think? Maybe? A little bit? So we're approaching the halfway point of this Thorn in the Side Thursday, and just a little bit of happy something, because out of all that, we got to have some. I never cease to be amazed at the degree to which this little community where I live continues to just blossom. Found out about a new eatery here over in Summersville. Great place to go, you know, when you... And like when you're on U.S. 19 and you drive across Summersville Lake northbound, you'll see people in their boats and their paddle boards and everything. There's just this little party cove over there, and it was very busy today. But now there's a new place opened up called the Original Flavor Bistro. And what a wonderful addition it is to the hip and fun little food scene here. Because there's nothing like it anywhere within probably 100 miles. It is a combination of Venezuelan and Puerto Rican cuisine. And my God, it's good. It's the only place I saw that they had ceviche on the menu. I was like, yeah, happening. And something I'd never had before, a little sweet corn gluten-free pancakes called cachapas, that are filled with cheese and grilled and folded on each other. Empanadas. Man, just magnificent sandwiches. Fried plantains. Goodness sakes, so good. Can't wait to try more of it. And it's really a nice little place, too. They've only been open for a couple of weeks. And, well, if we do get the horn in going, maybe somebody will want to... A gang of Hornedanistas will want to go over and check that out, because so good. And just a reminder, we've got a challenge on the table, courtesy of our dear friend Alma. And if that's met, we can go a long way toward getting. If it's met, we'll only have I think $25 left to fund for Tuesday. That's how close we are. if Alma's $50 challenge is met. Thank you, Alma, again. Let's see. I mentioned West Virginia. We got a little win yesterday. It's wonderfully encouraging. And it makes me feel so good. When Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice signed into law the ugly, hateful, nasty, ignorant, anti-scientific, goddamnable right-wing anti-trans kids bill regarding school sports, the ACLU swore that they would sue on behalf of trans children in this state. And just as a reminder, there is a statistical reason to think that West Virginia, of all places, has more trans children than any other state in the union. Blew my mind when I found out about it, but, well, why not? And so they filed and they requested a preliminary injunction against the law taking effect. And just by way of explaining the injunction process, when you ask a federal court for a preliminary injunction against a piece of legislation, the court has to analyze that petition or that motion and ask whether at trial the plaintiffs are likely to prevail upon their claims. And only if the court makes that finding can they issue the injunction. Well, yesterday, the United States District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia, sitting at Charleston, acted on behalf of protecting trans children, and in fact, all children in West Virginia. And in the memorandum, opinion, and order, oh my God, I mean, this is some real, you know, go fuck yourself language coming from the court. The court opens the memorandum, opinion, and order by writing the following. A fear of the unknown and discomfort with the unfamiliar have motivated many of the most malignant harms committed by our country's governments on their own citizens. Out of fear of those less like them, the powerful have made laws that restricted who could attend what schools, who could work certain jobs, who could marry whom, and even how people can practice their religions. Recognizing that classifying human beings in ways that officially sanction harm is antithetical to democracy, the states ratified the 14th Amendment. It ensures that no state may deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Accordingly, the courts are most jubilous of any law, state or federal, that treats groups of people differently. And then proceeded to blow this stupid anti-trans kid bill right out of the water. Concluding, it is clearly in the public interest to uphold BPJ, that's the petitioner, the trans kid. It is clearly in the public interest to uphold BPJ's constitutional right to not be treated any differently than her similarly situated peers, because any harm to BPJ's personal rights is a harm to the share of American rights that we all hold collectively. The right not to be discriminated against by the government belongs to all of us in equal measure. Cis, trans, hetero, homo, asexual, black, white, Asian, native, indigenous, every American. It is that communal, I added that part, it is that communal and shared ownership of freedom that makes up the American ideal. The American ideal is one, quote, that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free. And that's a line from Let America Be America Again by Langston Hughes. This judge cited Langston Hughes in upholding the rights of trans children to not be treated any differently by a gang of right-wing, maggot, Republican, legislative thugs. Now, this will, of course, be appealed. And at some point in time, because the cases are coming out of different circuits, there's one coming out of Alabama, there's one coming out of Mississippi Stan, Idaho Stan, Arkansas Stan. There won't be a split in the circuits, I don't think, but they're coming from different circuits, so this will probably be taken up by the Supreme Court of the United States. But for now, by God, it is a win, and it's a big win, and it's an important win. And by the way, just for anybody who's keeping score, the maggot legislature, those fiscal conservatives, are including our dumbass governor and our pill-pushing attorney general, maggots all, they've just cost the state of West Virginia a shit ton of money. That's a complicated accounting term, a shit ton of money, in defending this indefensible piece of rotten-ass legislation. I mean, the legislature of West Virginia must truly be dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. The shit was going to go down. It was going to fail. It had to fail. It couldn't stand. And so, not only the cost of the litigation, but they're also going to have to pay the attorney's fees of the ACLU. I wonder how Republican voters in West Virginia feel about lining the pockets of the American Civil Liberties Union. Because that's what their elected representatives just did. There was no reason to pass this bill except for the fact that there was a spasm of bigotry running all across this country because the Republicans and, you know, their enablers and donors at places like the Family Research Council, which was founded on a mailing list bought from the Klan, thought they had finally found a target that they could successfully attack. They finally found a victim that was small enough for them to fight and win. Children. Children who are trans. Children who are more likely, to the tune of about 40%, to at least attempt suicide once in their childhood. Just about anybody else. And even the little trans kids beat their sorry, maggoty, right-wing asses. God, these monsters. But we won. And we're going to keep winning. Absolutely. Oh, what else? Speaking of stupid litigation, Mississippistan Governor Colonel Taint Reeves, via his Attorney General, Lynn Fitch, which looks a lot like Lion Fitch. I'd like to buy a vowel. Please. Is there a B in there? Lion! Mississippi's Attorney General Lion Fitch has filed a new brief with the Supreme Court of the United States and has called for overruling outright, no questions asked, Roe versus Wade. And so, that, you know, we were expecting that decision to drop this term. It didn't. We'll get it in October. And the political geniuses of the Republican Party on the Supreme Court figuring, well, you know, if we take away a woman's right to choose in fall of 2021, the little ladies will probably have forgot about it by the time Election Day comes around in 2022. Mm-hmm. And it will be in the next term, the first Monday in October. because that's when the stupid fetal heartbeat bills will come before the court. From places like South Carolina Stan, Oklahoma Stan, Idaho Stan, Arkansas Stan, Montana Stan, or Arkansas Stan and Oklahoma Stan, have almost completely banned abortion. They're all, they've all got injunctions on them for the time being. But the right of a woman to make decisions about the workings of her own reproductive system hangs by the thinnest of threads. Yeah. And now Mississippi's just jumped in and said, hey, you know what? Fuck all that. Just declare, overrule Roe v. Wade and send the little women back barefoot and pregnant to the kitchen where they never should have left. They are an odious lot, to say the very least. Yeah, the Attorney General Lyon Fitch.
You dick!
Mm-hmm. Moving on, though, because there's so much more to move on to. I thought that, well, here's another one of those moments. Look, I know Nancy Pelosi is not nearly ideologically pure enough, and I know so many of us are so much smarter and would do so much a better job as Speaker of the House, but still, you got to give the woman credit for being as ferocious as she is. That was all sarcasm, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. I think she will probably honor her pledge to step down as Speaker. And I think we will come to regret the day. I think there will come a time when all those people who say, God damn Nancy Pelosi, don't you even know how to be a Speaker of the House? Everybody knows how to be Speaker of the House. You know, on our side, the people who say that. I think that will eventually turn to ashes in their fucking mouths. Because it's just not every day that you get somebody with this much starch in their spine. I mentioned in yesterday's program about how Kevin McCarthy had a hissy and pulled all of his nominations to the January 6th commission when Speaker Pelosi rejected Jim Shorts Jordan and Jim Banks. Well, Dick and a Wig Cheney came out and said, you know, Kevin McCarthy's not fit to be third in line from the presidency. Talking about the possibility that he might someday be Speaker of the House. He's not fit, said Dick and a Wig Cheney. The pissing and the moaning and the grunting and the barking and the hooting and the squealing. It's been nonstop out of Kevin McCarthy. What the hell is wrong with the people who send that man to Congress? It's another one of those cases of wanting to just knock on doors in his district and say, no, I just wanted to look at you. I wanted to see if you had like a baby's arm growing out of your head or something, or if you're wearing a rubber mask and you're really, you know, some sort of lizard space alien, because that's the only kind of people that would ever vote for somebody like Kevin McCarthy. But Nancy Pelosi's playing politics with the commission. Now, that's the power that she had in setting up the select committee. She had the maybe he couldn't find two other people who were not insurrectionists in his own caucus. But Lisa Desjardins of PBS asked Nancy Pelosi today what she thought about Kevin McCarthy saying she was playing politics with the 1-6 commission. And Nancy Pelosi answered, and I know this is just going to make Matt in San Francisco clap and jump for joy, because it's a beautiful moment. Last night, in conversation with Paul from Parts Unknown. He asked the question, you know, why don't we fight back? Why aren't Democrats better at pushing back and not playing quite so fair anymore? And playing as hard a game as the Republicans do. Well, Paul, Nancy Pelosi just did. Because Lisa Desjardins said, well, what about Kevin McCarthy saying you're playing politics? And Speaker Pelosi looked her in the eye and said, perhaps you mistake me for somebody who would care about that. Ow! I mean, she might as well have called Kevin McCarthy a needle dick. Or a pipsqueak. Or a pitiable little twerp. Because she did. Perhaps you mistake me for somebody who would care about that. That is to say, she does not care about anything that Kevin McCarthy has to say. Because Kevin McCarthy is one of the insurrectionists. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is the real deal. And, you know, I have a feeling that when she steps down, she'll probably be replaced by some dude. And dude is not going to be half of what Nancy Pelosi has been. And that is when all of those complaints will turn to ashes in some people's mouths. Everybody makes mistakes. No one is perfect at anything. But considering what she did, has done as the first female speaker of the House, she ranks up there with the best speakers of the House, period, bar none. She's as good or better than Tip fucking O'Neill rolling his goddamn sleeves up and getting down to work with Ronnie Reagan at the business of screwing over my generation. You're damn right she is. And she, under her leadership, she has sent profound, nation-changing, life-changing legislation over to die in a pool of dust and blood on Moscow Mitch's desk. It ain't her fault that he sucks. And she has done everything every speaker has ever done backwards and in heels. And I'm damned well proud of her. Even just a sharp little jab like that is worthy of our admiration. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, Nancy Pelosi is the real deal, and you, my friend, are a neoliberal establishment shill. You left out the goddamn part. That's goddamn neoliberal establishment shill, Brother Deacon. But good on her. And I hope she just slaps him, Kevin McCarthy, and God knows Jim Shorts Jordan, every time they open their stupid goddamn mouths. Because among other things, they are despicable insurrectionists. Compare that with the audio that came out from Anderson Cooper and CNN. The back and forth between Anderson Cooper and Carol Lenig and Philip Rucker was substantial. But we're just going to go straight to the babbling from Nitwit Nero part. This shit's kind of stunning.
Well, I heard that people wanted to go down to, you know, that wasn't my rally per se. There were a lot of people that spoke.
Yeah.
They had rallies the night before. They had speakers all over the city. You had hundreds of thousands of people. I would venture to say, I think it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. It went from that point, which is almost at the White House, to beyond the Washington Monument. It was and wide. And
but if you could have waved
your
wand.
It was a loving crowd too, by the way. There was a lot of love. I've heard that from everybody. Many, many people have told me that was a loving crowd.
Yeah, it was a loving crowd. Homicidal, but loving, right? Yeah. I'm trying to remember where I put it. Because I have... here's the loving crowd. Wait a second. This is what a loving crowd sounds like. It's, you know, for being so loving... That's a hell of a thing.
Right here, he's punching people. He's gonna go break me up and get him.
You hear the loving crowd there? Which, by the way, the loving crowd was throwing American flagpoles with MAGA flags, American flags, whatever, throwing them like spears at law enforcement. Didn't you hear all the love in that? That's what they were. You couldn't make it out because they were all just roaring, love, love, loving crowd. God almighty.
And, you know, it was too bad. It was too bad that got...
Can you hear how stopped up he is, how nasal he is? Well, you know, that's what a lifetime of abusing Adderall and who knows what else will do to you. Yeah, I think he's probably got no sinuses left.
Yeah, he's definitely kind of stuffed up.
You know that they did.
There were just some...
From my statement...
Mr. President, I apologize. What we're trying to understand is not blame, not castigate.
No,
we want to understand, what did you want when you said go up there? What would you have dreamed?
I would have said that you will show not to go in, although they were ushered in by the police. I mean, in all fairness, the Capitol Police were ushering people in. The Capitol Police were very friendly. You know, they were hugging and kissing. You don't see that.
Hugging and kissing. You know, while they were having flagpoles thrown at them like spears. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Loving crowd, Arthur says, I'd love to get my hands on, you know, Pence, Pelosi. Yeah. Love is a highway. I want to rampage all night long. That was Arthur, not me. No singing. We still got a challenge on the table that hasn't been touched, and we're 12 minutes away from the beginning of the third hour of the program. Please don't leave a challenge just laying around.
But there's plenty of tape on that, too, you know, because the Capitol Police were, that's the way it is. But I wanted, I mean, personally, what I wanted is what they wanted.
This is truly the definition of addled and scatterbrained.
They showed up just to show support. Because I happen to believe the election was rigged at a level like nothing has ever been rigged before. There's tremendous proof.
No, of course not, but, well.
There's tremendous proof. Statistically, it wasn't even possible that he won. I mean, things such as if you win Florida and Ohio and Iowa, there's never been a loss.
And did you need better lawyers? Because they took it to court, but they didn't
I needed better judges.
You notice how Rucker and Lenig are talking to him like you would talk to a, you know, 10-year-old? Little words.
The Supreme Court was afraid to take it. Don't forget, if you take all of the everything out, take all of the dead people that voted, and there were thousands of them, by the way. We have lists of, you know, obituaries, etc.
But the thing is that, well, they're not, you know, actually true.
take the illegal immigrants that voted, if you take this, the Indians that got paid to vote in different places.
Indians got paid to vote in different places. Why would, you know, I'm just having a hard time figuring out, when you think about where most of the indigenous reservations are in this country, and you've got Indians being paid to vote in different places. My God, he hates indigenous people. Well, most of those reservations are in maggot states. And he carried those states anyway with all of those illegal Indian votes. North and South Dakota, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona. I mean, Wisconsin, yeah. Most of those are states Trump, you know, won. I mean, not Wisconsin, but Jesus. Oh, I guess all those extra voting Indians were in, like, Wisconsin and Michigan. Is that it? Kind of at a loss here.
This is, you know, we had Indians getting paid to vote. Many, many different things. All election changing, not just, you know, 12 people. I mean, all, because they were all very close, you know, the five, it's only in five places. If you take that, forget all of that.
Is there an Indian reservation in Atlanta? How much reservation land is there in Maricopa County, Arizona? How many Indian reservations in California? I mean, it wasn't even close in California. Ah, God damn, that must have been some busy Native Americans that day.
It's massive numbers, but forget all of that. If you take all of that, just look at one thing. The legislatures of the states did not approve all of the things that were done for those elections. And under the Constitution of the United States, they have to do that.
At least the Constitution of the United States that exists solely in his fevered imaginings, I guess. The legislatures did not approve all of those things that they were doing. What he's alluding to there is the consent decree that Brian Kemp signed in Georgia, which Brian Kemp had to sign. And the maggot Georgia legislature had nothing to do with. They were not part of the process. But he either doesn't understand that, or understanding it, he thinks he can, as he's done all his life, bullshit his way through it. Arthur says, stop it, Robin. He means it was real Indians from India who were flown in by the Italian spacecrafts. Duh. That was worthy, Arthur. Trump won New Mexico. Flavio says, if my memory serves me, that's a solidly Democratic state. That's what I said. You know, Michigan has some Indian land. Wisconsin has some Indian land. New Mexico has Indian land. But South Dakota, where Christie the Gnome is, he lost Arizona, but it was, but that's why I asked about Maricopa County. Carried Oklahoma, lots of Native Americans there. Yeah, illegal Indians. He's not okay. He's not home.
And the Supreme Court, they didn't find fact. Don't forget, they didn't say, well, we disagree. They said, we're not going to hear the case. I'm very disappointed in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he's very disappointed because he put those justices on there specifically to do this and to keep his ass in office for four more years.
and he felt like they owed him one, because he operates in a world that operates on mob rules. I do you a favor, you do me a favor, right? But that's not what the Supreme Court's interested in. Oh, no, 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 Sunshine, no. No, this Supreme Court is interested in protecting the money and keeping people from voting. If he had had halfway decent lawyers, maybe he would have gotten past the accept the petition stage. But instead, he hired pettifogging twits like Kraken Lawyer and L. Lynn Wood, who is still trying to dig out from under legal sanctions in Michigan. Suman says, Indian votes. My community voted overwhelmingly for this orange bastard, not proud to admit this in the least. If that's what he's complaining about, then he's a stupid moron. But wait, he always was. Yeah, I kind of thought that might be the case, Suman. So I think we're back down to rogue voting Cherokees in North Carolina.
What do you think they were afraid of?
I guess they thought that it would be violent, maybe. And it was violent the other way, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Rosicrucians. Maybe. I don't know.
And when he gets quiet like that, you know that he's struggling.
I guess they thought it would be violent, maybe. And then he said, and it was violent the other way, perhaps. I don't know.
That's because he just realized, wait a minute. I just scored an own goal. Because my people were violent.
But I guess they thought that it would be violent. But the Supreme Court of the United States, in the Constitution, it says you can't have local politicians setting the rules. And they set the rules. Early voting, this voting, ballots, many, many different things.
Now, he's just saying words at this point.
And these were Democrats going to Republican, with the exception of Nevada, which was a Democrat legislature. And by the way, they did for the most part approve, but they had things that they didn't approve. But the other ones had very little done, almost nothing.
My eyes are beginning to roll back in my head. God almighty. You know, later on, Anderson Cooper will say that it sounds like drunk Nixon. Hell, Nixon's in hell giggling.
You'd better lay on another crate of pineapples, Your Satanic Majesty. This one's going to be fun. I thought I was a crook. It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews. Billy, the Jews.
So they were setting illegally all of these rules, regulations, everything. Poll watchers who were absolutely brutalized and thrown out. We had
brutalized? Did they have flags thrown at them like spears there, Nitwit Nero? Ralph's pointing out, Trump always answers with upspeak. Yeah, because I know.
No poll watchers allowed in buildings for days. Okay? It was an illegal, corrupt election, as bad as a third world country. Okay.
You mean a shithole?
So, with that, the judges just would not rule. We had...
Well, can I one more beat on that? If you had bad judges, that's like 86 bad judges. Were they afraid? Were they... Some of them were people you appointed.
No, that's true. I'm not saying. I appointed them, and I was very disappointed in them.
God almighty. What's that, Anderson Cooper?
I mean, there's so many... It's fascinating that... I mean, I said this... This is like listening to...
And Anderson Cooper is... Because I don't think you can respond to that with... Ha!
But here comes the takeaway line.
No, that's true. I'm not saying I appointed them, and I was very disappointed in them.
I mean, there's so many. It's fascinating that I said this. This is like listening to Nixon drunk rambling, except he's not drunk. He's just rambling, and that he still is holding on to all these lies. The idea that poll watchers were brutalized, but there was love, nothing but love, and the police just ushered in these loving people into the Capitol on the day of the attack is...
Now, I want to be fair in one regard. I mean, I want to be fair in all regards, but in this particular instance, there was video early on, and I remember us talking about it, where people who appeared to be dressed like Capitol Police were moving the barriers aside and allowing maggots to come through. Now, according to what Nitwit Nero says in that recording, they went on and led a tour into that. That's simply not true. That is not factual. But that video does exist. And I would love to know what is being discovered about that. And there are still bizarre unanswered questions. About how some of this stuff came off. I mean, for instance, one member of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, during the attack on the Capitol of January 6th, he posed for a photo. This DEA agent did, who was off duty. He displayed his DEA badge and his firearm outside the Capitol. We know this because he's been arrested. Mark Sammy Ibrahim was carrying a flag bearing the words, "Liberty or Death!" Right before people started pulling apart the barricades. He is, of course, from Orange County, California, otherwise known as the part of California that's Alabama. He was on personal leave, and he had given his notice of his resignation a few weeks before. He claimed that he was there to help document the event for the FBI. His buddy, on the other hand, said, "Nuh-uh. Dude came up with this all by himself to cover his ass." The Office of Inspector General agent wrote, "According to Ibrahim's friend, Ibrahim went to the rally in order to promote himself. Ibrahim had been thinking about his next move after leaving the DEA and wanted the protest to be his stage for launching a Liberty Tavern political podcast, wait for it, and cigar brand. Because, you know, America's greatest right-wing honker of cigars has gone on to his long reward, I mean Rush Limbaugh. My friends and these formerly nicotine-stained fingers." Yeah. Yeah, he lied. He lied to the FBI. He said he never displayed his DEA badge and his firearm, except for the fact there's this, you know, photograph. You know, a photo's worth a thousand lies. So he was arrested this past Tuesday. Now his pettifogger says, "Yeah, but he didn't participate in the riot, and he didn't do any violence, and didn't try to go into the Capitol. He was honest and voluntarily cooperative with authorities. This indictment results from conjecture, political pressure, and a flawed attempt to paint a specific narrative through pictures taken wholly out of context.
Mr. Ibrahim firmly believes the truth shall always prevail. And so, of course, U.S. Magistrate Judge Zia Faruqi turned Ibrahim loose after his initial appearance the day before yesterday. And prosecutors didn't even ask for him to be detained pending trial. Yeah. Meanwhile, the DEA has been stonewalling for months on whether or not any of its agents participated. What was I saying the other day? Y'all, they are going to do it again. As sure as God made little green apples, and if you eat too many, you get a bellyache and the runs. They are going to do it again. Naturally, he's been on with Cucky Tucky and said, when the crowd began to be hostile toward law enforcement, me being law enforcement myself, I started to document everything. I wanted to aid law enforcement that day the best I could. I really didn't think anything of it. And then he went back to L.A. and got fired. And he explained to Tucky, they got it wrong. Me and my brother both served in the Army. I followed him into federal law enforcement. My sister's a Navy veteran. My mom was in the Pentagon on 9-11. 9-11, y'all, 9-11. The saddest part about this is I can't serve my country anymore. I don't know how he was planning on serving his country with the Liberty Tavern podcast and cigar brand. Good God. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, yeah, they were hugging and kissing, even as they were erecting the gallows to murder Mike Pence. And by the way, those Indians paid to vote. You're wrong. The Dems outsourced voting. They were paying East Indians to come here and vote for Biden. Don't even whisper that into the ear of the universe, Brother Deacon. Does local politicians, Greg wants to know, include North Dakota legislators passing a new law that Indians on the res can't vote unless they have a P.O. box or street address instead of just general delivery, how most residents get their U.S. mail on the res? Many roads on every res don't even have official names but are known nonetheless by folks, like Jackrabbit Road with Whoopi Hill up on my res, the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Nation. Yeah, I remember that. Well, and then that was done specifically to try to keep Heidi Heitkamp from being reelected, the wild-eyed liberal that she was not. And guess what? It worked. And because these schemes work, the Republicans will continue to use them until they are forced not to. And then they'll just try to do it on the down low. Yeah. On and on and on and on. And, you know, speaking of insurrectionist maggots, where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Yeah. Let's talk a minute about a former state lawmaker from Arizona stand, because they still got a maggot legislature. Well, he's a former Arizona state legislator because he got bounced out in the same election where Nitwit Nero lost. The guy we're talking about is former Arizona State Representative Anthony Kern. He was photographed in the crowd on January 6th in D.C. He's one of those people who showed up to attack the Capitol. And he's now been endorsed by Nitwit Nero. Fully
knowledgeable that he attacked the Capitol. That means he was loyal. Damnation. And he endorsed this clown, Anthony Kern, because Kern is running against Arizona State Senator Paul Boyer. And Trump said, he's a rhino if there ever was one. He's been nothing but trouble. Because Boyer was interviewed by the New York Times about the incredibly stupid cyber ninjas recount of the Arizona vote. And Boyer said, you know what makes us look like idiots? Looking back, I didn't think it would be this ridiculous. It's embarrassing to be a state senator at this point. And so because he criticized the bullshit recount, Nitwit Nero is now going after him. And Nitwit Nero said, Boyer's being primaried by a strong and highly respected challenger, former Arizona State Representative Anthony Kern. Oh, for pity's sakes. And this guy's been seen counting ballots at the stupid bullshit Arizona audit. He was photographed doing that. But he participated in the assault on constitutional governance on January the 6th. And he's on the damn ballot. On and on and on. Oh, let's go back to Florida for just a second, just for another COVID update, because we'll have too many of these. If I leave them, you know, there'll be another dozen by tomorrow. We had Florida dude earlier who wishes people would get vaccinated now. Well, this is Donald Frew McAvoy, this guy. Young, healthy guy. Said to himself, you know, I'm young and healthy. And I'm a fitness coach. Exercise all the time. I'm doing everything right. I'm young, I'm good, I'm okay. I don't get it. I don't need it. I was skeptical, he said. 33 years old. Not quite a month ago, by about 2 days, June 24th, he tested positive for the Rona, and 2 days later he was in the hospital. Shortly after that, he's in the intensive care unit. Interviewed, he said, I remember just sitting there crying and crying. All I could think about was fighting and wanting to get out to see my daughter. So he's out now. And he may be a COVID long hauler at this point because he's out and he's going to get to see his daughter. He gets to see his daughter. But the 33-year-old man is still toting around an oxygen tank because his lungs are so trashed, he still can't go without it. But no. He hasn't seen his daughter yet, hasn't seen her in a month, because he keeps getting tested, and he keeps testing positive for what is probably the Delta variant. And he's all, woe is me. I was one of those people that said it affects just the elderly or affects the older people that have health conditions. That's absolutely not true. I hope that people start to take it serious. And so now, because of the brutality of this country, he set up a GoFundMe campaign to pay for medical bills that he didn't have to have if he had just gotten a goddamn vaccine. On and on and on. But he's better off than Linda Zern. She was one of the board selectmen in Bourne, Massachusetts. And in the local Republican Party, she was a big old maggot. Was. Because, to paraphrase
the all too absent lately, Jesse Lee Peterson. She did. She was 70 years old. She died at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She rejected the vaccine, even though it was easily obtainable to her. Republican State Committee Woman Deborah Duggan, interviewed by the Cape Cod Times, said she was there at her bedside when Ms. Zern died. She was a strong woman who believed in speaking the truth and defending our freedoms in America. I would describe her to people as a little woman, but a mighty warrior. In Donald Trump's house are many maggots. And in the months before his pandemic got to her, she pushed bullshit conspiracy theories about COVID-19. She said that the World Health Organization had covered up the Wuhan virus. She said that the globalists were using COVID-19 to bring in UN Agenda 2030. Yeah, because that's another thing they're blathering about. UN Agenda 2030! They're going to create one world government! Baby, there already is one world government. It's called corporations. And, of course, Ms. Zern, now dead, was a cue ball. And she posted on more than one occasion, WWG1, WGA, which I've changed to WWD1, WDA. Where we derp one, we derp all. She hustled the hydroxychloroquine scam during an actual government meeting last December. In that meeting, she said, have you looked into preventative measures that people could use besides a vaccine to help build up their immune system? Now, she was 70 years old, and she still had her mama. Both of them got COVID-19. Guess where? They took a trip from Massachusetts, Bourne, Massachusetts, to where else? South Dakota, where the stochastic terrorist governor, Christy the Gnome, flung the virus wide upon the entire country. Well, goodbye, Linda Zern. Goodbye. Too bad you didn't have enough common goddamn sense to get a vaccine. I'm sorry for anybody. Sorry for anybody who misses you. On and on and on. Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious, Robin, Earther says. Somebody needs to put these people in a PSA TV ad talking about how wrong they were with a strong quasi-Lincoln project. Maybe it's already happening. I don't know. We need media antidotes as well as physical ones. Is this one of the magnet ladies, the one that died? No. Well, I mean, she probably believed that it would make yeah. They believe anything as long as it's got a Q or a Trump somewhere around it. Oh, and our buddy Greg mentioned North Dakota a couple of minutes ago. Well, enter Senator Kevin Cramer, a member of the United States Senate. Maybe this is the clown who replaced Heidi Heitkamp. I don't know. He showed up on MSNBC to be interviewed for some reason. And, well, as is always the case when you've got a maggot senator on, things got a little zany. Get the hockey puck.
On Monday, and what do you need to see in that bipartisan package for it to get your vote?
Yeah, this is talking about the, he starts out trying to talk about the infrastructure bill, which supposedly there is now an agreement that can pass the Senate, $579 billion. $579 pissant dollars. Daggum. You know, we need $10 trillion. We're going to get 1/20th of that. And they're going to do it by eliminating the Medicare Part D reimbursement program, where benefit managers get reimbursed for the money that they spend on prescription medications under Medicare Part D. So instead of asking billionaires under, like we were talking about, Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax, instead of asking billionaires to pay 1% or 2%, I'm sorry, of their share of the ride, we're going to fuck over a drug program. And there seems to be some bipartisan support, maybe, for fucking over a Medicare drug program. Joe Manchin certainly supports fucking over a Medicare drug program.
Because we can't afford it anyway.
So enter Kevin Cramer to babble about that, but it's only going to get worse.
Some things we don't like. I don't think anybody expects anything differently. I think people largely want an infrastructure package, so we're doing the right work. And I have confidence in them, and I do have confidence that they're going to get, we can get to 60. I want to be one of those 60. I've talked to other Republicans who want to be a yes if they can get there. What I'd like to see is, I want to see a preservation, of course, of the traditional formula. This is sort of inside, you know, highway bill stuff, but the formula where it's a 90% split, 90-10% split between states getting 90% and grants being the other 10%, the 80-20 split between,
yada, 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 but we haven't gotten to the crazy part yet.
Trillion, or if it turns out to be 800 billion or 1.1, whatever it turns out to be, if it meets the standards that I want, including some permitting reforms, I want to be for that.
Ah, permitting reforms. He's from North Dakota. Wonder what kind of permitting reforms he'd like to have. Maybe something about some goddamn pipelines, maybe, you think? Oh, and by the way, we've got about less than 40 minutes left in the program. There is still a challenge laying untouched on the table. Thanks to Uncle Smokey and thanks to Jeremy, we've raised, and Joey and Giraffe, we've raised $25 this evening. That's a great way to have this stop being a viable radio operation. Not trying to, you know, it's just, I'm just, facts, you know. Garrett Hake, nonetheless, had more questions.
Partisan commission and still been under control of Democrats and would have been turned into a very partisan deal, which, by the way, is exactly what we're seeing played out in the House. You know, the Speaker appoints this commission. She pushes this.
Grunt, grunt, hoot, hoot, bark, bark, ruga, ruga.
After some reluctance, obviously, the Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, appoints some Republicans, and right away the Speaker shows her bias by saying, well, no, we can't have pro-Trump Republicans, only, you know, skeptical Trump Republicans. And it just exposed...
That's exactly what Nancy Pelosi did not say. She rejected Jim Banks and Jim Shorts Jordan, among other things, I think, plausibly, because they could wind up being witnesses. They're not pro-Trump Republicans, they're pro-insurrection Republicans. As Dick in a Wig told Jim Shorts Jordan, don't fucking touch me. You fucking started this.
Was the partisan nature of it. So I think
that would a commission not have prevented that? I mean, is there any way to investigate January 6th that wouldn't, in your view, somehow be partisan then?
Well, I think that the committee process is exactly the way to do that. That's why we're here. That's why we're elected. That's why in a 50-50 Senate, that's why the work of the two committees that have jurisdiction did such good work and came out with some findings that will be helpful going forward. But wanting to expand that and review history in the context of the next election or whatever the case might be, I don't think you need an extra commission, an extra layer of bureaucracy.
No, we don't need to actually find out who did this shit all the way to the top. I mean, he has to say that so that he can keep being a senator, because otherwise Nitwit Nero will say something shitty about him. By the way, Clarence pointing out those illegal voting Indians Nitwit Nero was talking about a moment ago. Those Choctaws and Cherokees took Biden over the top. Those swing reservations are becoming a voting bloc to be feared. Just kidding. Trump's out of his mind. Cowbell for swing reservations.
To do that, and that can be politicized, and we're seeing exactly that play out in the House. And I think you'd have seen exactly the same thing by a, quote, bipartisan commission.
I want to review history with you just for a little bit here. The sure. Washington Post reporters Carol Lenning and Philip Rucker posted some audio from their recent interview.
Please don't ask me about the, don't, please. I want to keep being a senator. More good news, Steve in New York adds, hey, speaking of Linda Zern and her mama going out to South Dakota, and you know, my great-grandma and my grandma went to South Dakota, and all I got was this stupid virus. Steve in New York reminds us, Sturgis starts on August 6th to August 15th. You want to bet they don't cancel it? Bet? No, they're not going to cancel it. They'll show up this year wearing the ones that are willing to wear helmets. I don't know. They'll have stickers on their Harleys of little MAGA coronaviruses.
I believe that.
Wait, did I just Magarona? Macaroni may never be the same again.
Actually, was in March with the former president, who had kind words to say about some of the individuals who stormed the Capitol that day. Listen to this for me, if you would.
Sure.
In all fairness, the Capitol Police were ushering people in. The Capitol Police were very friendly. You know, they were hugging the kids. You don't see.
Yeah, we heard that part. Tell us about it, Senator Kramer.
Support. And I think he's been pretty consistent about that, Garrett, that, you know, the people showing up to show support is one thing. But what I can't rationalize is people who showed up to show support and that those numbers that came to the Capitol clearly violating law, going over barriers, breaking through doors, walking through broken glass to get there. And granted, some of them probably didn't intend to do something as egregious as that, and they got caught up in the moment, but they were easily persuaded. I don't rationalize it. I don't rationalize anti-cop behavior by anybody. I think that if you rationalize it by one side, you lose the moral authority on the other side. So, no, I don't share.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
Share that view at all. I think that everybody that walked through and walked in that night, regardless of their intent, violated law at some level. And I'm glad to see some prosecutions taking place. And it may be overly zealous for some people, but I'd like to see
some prosecutions taking place may be overly zealous for some people. How about underly zealous? How about subterraneanly zealous? How about less than a slap on the wrist? How about 8 months for treason? How about that, Kevers?
Equal treatment of rioters and lawbreakers that represent a different political view, however, throughout this country.
Well, I don't know that there were a lot of rioters in the Capitol representing a different political view on that day. I know you're referring to folks like Antifa and protesters in other cities, but I think you get into dangerous territory.
Scary black people, that's what he means. This dude's whiter than I am.
Territory when you start to compare those two things in this context.
And he really needs a foundation a little closer to his own skin tone. Just saying. Steve in New York pointing out that they walked through broken windows. That sounds an awful lot like the gun just went off. The windows just done got broke. How is a mystery? Yeah, so much for all that broken windows policing, huh?
Senator, I want to ask you a question on a different topic. We've been paying a lot of attention to COVID this week. We've seen surges around the country because of the Delta variant. You're one of a handful of senators who've decided not to say one way or the other whether or not you've gotten the vaccine. But I wonder what you think your responsibility is to your constituents, or how you discuss this with your constituents back home. You know, imagine a lot of folks in North Dakota would probably trust Kevin Cramer more than they trust Anthony Fauci, would probably trust you if you told them even to go talk to their doctors about it. How do you navigate that in North Dakota? And
Oh, dear. This is, for a Republican from North Dakota, that question is a live grenade.
What do you think your responsibility is to those folks?
I told you to get the hockey puck. I hope you didn't give up on it, okay? Bite down hard, because this is going to be nasty.
So I think one of the greatest things, well, the greatest thing about the American experiment is that we're a self-governed democracy. We're not a democracy like all of the others. North Dakota...
Huh? We're a self-governed democracy. We're not a democracy like all the... God damn, the very word democracy means... rule by the people. I mean, I know a little bit of Greek. Democracia? Isn't that it? People rule? Yeah? Right. Wonder how the other democracies operate. Well, you know, you got democracy up in Canoodley, not far from North Dakota. And up there, their democracy is ruled by mooses and shit. And you know, the democracy they got down there in Australasia, well, that democracy is ruled by kangaroos. Hey, we got democracy that's ruled by the people, not like the other democracies. You can tell it was, I mean, that's, the, you only get answers like that on live grenade questions. Grenade!
Ones are very savvy people. There's no shortage of information that they can access to make their decisions, whether it's Anthony Fauci, doctors, you know, MSNBC or another station.
Or preachers that don't know shit about science and think that Adam and Eve rode to... you know, rode to church on a dinosaur. I mean.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bull action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of sources of information. I know a lot of my constituents like to tune into that Onan and that news muck. And the Fox News. Wait a minute, is this Fox? You're not that communist network, are you? Oh, God, you are. Well, at least none of my constituents are watching.
Or the internet. People are very well informed. They don't need to be lectured to. They certainly don't need to be bullied.
What's your vaccination rate in North Dakota there, Kevers? Maybe somebody does need to be lectured a little bit. Maybe they need the vaccine rammed down their arm, if not their throat.
Respond more negatively than positively to that. And frankly, I'm...
Oh, here it comes.
Prefer to listen to my constituents than lecture them and inform them. I inform them about what's going on in Congress. I'm not a great informer of what's going on in their personal health care, and I think...
Not so hot on what's going on in Congress either.
I also think, Garrett, and I think you know this about me, I want to honor the people who are legitimately skeptical. Now, I don't share that view. I happen to think that getting vaccinated is a net gain. I think there's less risk in getting vaccinated than not getting vaccinated.
Less risk. It's a net gain. He cannot say getting vaccinated is... it's a net gain. Good. No, can't say it's good to get vaccinated. No, can't do that. I mean, there's less risk. Jesus. And yet, even with all of this, he's still got more stupid up his sleeve.
I'm very clear about that. But people make these decisions themselves, for themselves and for their families, with legitimate questions about the vaccines that have only been around a short time.
What would qualify as a legitimate question about the vaccine? I'm genuinely curious.
Sure. For example, we have a vaccine that because of Operation Warp Speed, which I supported, and which without Donald Trump would not have happened. I don't know another president in my lifetime that would have made Operation Warp Speed happen at such warp speed. That said, it hasn't been very long. It hasn't been through the type of rigorous reviews that other vaccines have had, and we are just now seeing some outcomes from that vaccine. So people being hesitant.
You mean outcomes like people not dying from coronavirus? That kind of outcome, Kev?
We're wanting to wait to see how it plays out is perfectly logical to me. But North Dakotans are also...
Well, you know, apparently North Dakotans aren't very terribly imbued with that skill that you think you possess called logic, because nothing you said there, Kev, is even remotely logical. I think poor Garrett Hake, who was just called to sit in, you know, just do the stand-in anchoring duty there in the afternoon, he might be ready to just tear up the contract and walk.
You know, logical in other ways. They know how to take care of themselves, how to protect themselves and their children. So
really, they know that in other ways. You know, maybe it was some bleach or UV light up the butt or some aquarium cleaner. I mean, they're logical. They know how to take care of themselves in other ways. How about by wearing a mask? Oh, no, that's not. No, they don't know how to wear. No, not so good at wearing masks and the whole social distancing thing. I mean, you know, North Dakotans maybe got some Scandinavian stock, but they've forgotten about all that social distancing. No, they know how to take care of it other ways.
So I want to honor that personal privacy, by the way, which is also critical.
Yeah, here it is. I want to honor that personal privacy. It's coming. You're not going to be all right. Close the window so the neighbors won't hear you screaming. It's here.
You know, we can't pray for people's healing in church anymore because it would out their health situations. So I don't know why we should be outing everybody's personal decisions on vaccinations.
And when he said we can't pray for anybody anymore because it would have to out their poor little Garrett Hake perked up. He was nodding off a little bit, but all of a sudden his eyes just went. I wait all night for calls like these. Ding! So this guy who sounds like a kind of, you know, mainstream sort of rock-ribbed Republican, nope, he's a loon too. Oh, the goddamn federal government won't let us pray for people what's got the Rona or pray for people not to get the Rona. Oh, my God! They're ramming it. They're ramming it down our throats.
Oh. I'm not sure who's telling you myself. You can't pray for people's health in church, Senator Cramer. You're certainly welcome to pray for mine. I'll pray for yours. Thank you for coming on. And I'm going to ask one of our doctors on the panel later today about those questions about the vaccine. For folks who might be curious about that portion of the hesitancy
sure.
question, we'll come back to that later. So thank you for raising on Monday.
So, you know, yeah, I'm good. And after that, going to the bar. They don't pay me enough. They pay me a lot, but it ain't enough. I mean, I got to sit here and not hoot like a barn owl when you say that the federal government's keeping you from praying for people to... Good God. Mind-boggling. And once again, this shit spreads faster than the Delta variant itself. And it all starts, of course, with Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball from that same interview that we've been running for a couple of days.
Aaron Navarro, CBS News. Whip Scalise said today he got vaccinated, citing this Delta variant that's going around, and said he's confident that it's safe and effective. Two questions. Have you yourself gotten vaccinated, and do you disagree with the Republican Whip?
Well, your first question is a violation of my HIPAA rights.
No, it isn't. You're an idiot.
You see, with HIPAA rights, we don't have to reveal our medical records, and that also involves our vaccine records.
And do you disagree with Aaron Navarro?
Yeah, didn't get around to that part. No, see, you poor dumb thing. HIPAA means that organizations can't release your information.
Apparently, she just signs the HIPAA statement at the doctor's office and doesn't actually read it. I'm such a nerd that I do read it. And it means they can't, you know, without things like subpoenas or court orders or whatever. But it doesn't mean nobody can ask. And it certainly doesn't mean you can't tell. That's voluntary. It's kind of like Trump with his taxes. Well, I'll certainly release my taxes as soon as the audit's over. No law that says you can't release during your taxes during an audit. I know. Steve in New York with a note. Jeebus cripes! I just broke a tooth biting through my hockey puck. Frozen rubber does not taste good. That's why I told you to bite down hard in the first place. Don't want to violate people's HIPAA. But we can't conceive. I mean, the way these goddamn liberals are, I mean, if we pray for people in church, then that'll mean Jesus has done violated people's HIPAA rights. And then these damn liberal Democrats will be prosecuting Jesus. Jesus. Right. Randy Radar pointing out he wants to honor people's privacy, except the part wherein he wants the cameras to get shoved up women's hoo-hoos. Oh! That. God. I told you it was going to be information dense in more ways than one. Oh, and let's check in down in Tennistan, shall we? Because, you know, they're trying to erase history down here. Their lieutenant governor is named... Yes, I did say hippo rights, Ralphs. You gotta break in. Sometimes I just have to break the... Goddamn hippo rights! I mean, they're Republicans. They probably think it does have something to do with the most dangerous animal in all the African continent. Hippos. Which they are. Oh, down Tennistan, they got their lieutenant governor's name, Randy McNally. Oh, well, at least he calls himself Randy, because that way the map company does it. Please don't call yourself Rand McNally. We already have enough problem with the senator from Kentucky. No, Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally has taken a bold position in support of a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest, the butcher of Fort Pillow, the founder of the Klan, traitor against the United States of America, and, of course, Confederate Army General. It's being removed, the bust is, from the Tennessee State Capitol, because it really should be. But and it's being removed by the Tennessee State Building Commission. They voted 5-2 to take down the father of the Klan's bust out of the Tennessee State Capitol. And Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, well, in his sense of delicate white fragility, let loose a tweet storm. My position on the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest has been clear and consistent over a number of years. I believe that context is needed, but not removal. No one's arguing, because, you know, if we put some context in there, you know, leave the bust in the state capitol, only put father of the Klan, butcher of Fort Pillow. And that way, you know, white supremacists from all over America can come and worship at the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest for having unleashed a domestic terrorist organization that torments people to this day. No one's arguing that Forrest is not a problematic figure. He is,
But there's more to his story. His life eventually followed a redemptive arc, which I hope is outlined in detail in our state museum. No figure honored on the Capitol grounds or across the state could stand up to modern scrutiny. There was scrutiny of Nathan Bedford Forrest back when he was orchestrating the butchery at Fort Pillow. And he didn't withstand that either very well. Without historical context, where he decided to commit treason against the United States of America, we would have no Tennessee heroes, only villains. Well, you know, that's kind of on y'all, not the rest of us. I mean, there's Andrew Jackson, who paid extra to have a human being that he had enslaved and who had run away, to have him beaten extra hard. There's David Crockett, who opposed Jackson on the matter of genocide of Native peoples in the Southeast and was driven from Washington as an act of retribution by Jackson, and who then, because of a series of financial reversals and the like, lit out, you all may go to hell, I am going to Texas, where he died on his knees begging for his life from Santa Ana. No Christian saints, only sinners. The left-wing activists who are pushing an anti-American, anti-history agenda here in Tennessee and across the nation will not stop with Nathan Bedford Forrest. No, they done drove old Dixie down in Richmond by hauling Robert E. Lee away, running a red light as he left. The woke mob means ultimately to uproot and discard not just Southern symbols, burning crosses and the like, but American heroes in history as well. This is not the end. It is the beginning. The left will move on to the next figure or monument and demand that we again kneel at the altar of political correctness. While the governor and the constitutional officers did not stand with me today, I hope they will next time, because more fights are coming. Well, why don't you just resign and secede or something there, Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally? Nathan Bedford Forrest, for instance, said some profound things in his time on that redemptive arc. He said, for instance, I am not an enemy of the Negro. We want him here among us. He is the only laboring class we have. That's a damn fine, funny way of saying, the white folks won't work for free. Got to enslave people if you want to get free labor out of them. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this bust, you'd think it had been adorning the capital of the state of Tennessee since... the late 1800s, when the Lost Cause was born. No, they put that bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest in the Tennessee State Capitol, wait for it, in 1978. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the people who put that bust in there knew damned well why. Problematic. What's really cool is you can take these tweets and you can replace the word, you can replace Nathan Bedford Forrest with Adolf Hitler. And you get a much clearer vision of what Randy McNally's on about. Just listen. My position on the bust of Adolf Hitler has been clear and consistent over a number of years. I believe that context is needed, but not removal. No one is arguing that Hitler is not problematic. He is. But there's more to his story. Ta-da! By the way, thank you, Mike and Cascadia, for sending that along. Jesus, God. And of course, trying to talk about why he's an awful person who does not deserve to be honored in any way. Well, that's critical race theory. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to be fair, David Crockett, while he did go down to Texas to fight for the rights of white people to enslave other to enslave people who were not white, in actually the territorial confines of a nation that had outlawed slavery, that's not the be-all and end-all. Tennessee's a wonderful place. The blues were born in Memphis, and they were created by a man who came from my hometown, whose music festival is being celebrated in the Shoals this week. I wish I could be there. W.C. Handy. On the other far end of the state, you have a national treasure in the form of Dolly Parton. Yeah. And you have it's a beautiful place. I mean, the place I grew up in, Alabama, is 11 miles from the Tennessee state line. In some ways, well, you go to the Shoals and you're as likely to see as many orange flags with white T for Tennessee on them as you are to see Alabama or Auburn. I personally think when they drew the lines, the Tennessee River should have been the southern border of Tennessee. Yeah, oh well. I know. Secede, says Stephen New York. Don't you mean SECNY? Oh, I do. I remember that oh so well. And thank you. Thank you to our pal Todd. Thank you so much, Todd. You've jumped in alongside Uncle Smokey and Jeremy. And so now we have raised $35 this evening and $11, meaning 39 remains, on Alma's challenge. Thank you for not letting that go unresponded to. I think it's just terrible when people kindly put doubling offers up and then, you know, bupkis. Thank you for the cowbell, Billable Rick. That was for Magarona. I was kind of proud of that. I'm glad you noticed. Right up there with hippo rights. Randy Radar says, regarding Trump, old shitheads don't die. They just fade away, which in Trump's case would be the worst thing Trump thinks could happen to him. Yeah, he's Tinkerbell. If nobody's clapping, he's dying. Stop clapping. Well, there we go. That's good. Cowbell for Frank up Iowa way. On January 6, 2021, the U.S. Capitol was invaded by insurrectionists. I'm wondering, how come these insurrectionists are not called cop killers? Or was it three-fifths of a cop? Just wondering. And that, hence the cowbell. Yeah. A little bit more about Nathan Bedford Forrest, just in case you might run across anybody who wants to talk about him. Even after he had founded the KKK, which was after he committed treason against and engaged in terrorism against the United States, even after he was the Grand Wizard of the Klan, he got into the railroad business and bankrupted that. And since he couldn't enslave people anymore, he used that loophole in the 13th Amendment and ran a farm that only kept him, kept his head above water by virtue of cheap prison labor. And you can take a wild guess at the skin color of most of the prison labor. Cancel culture. Okay. That's for Steve. Magaroni. The Neshoba County treat. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, wow. Thank you, Mark. Our buddy Mark down in Florida just finished off Alma's challenge. That means we're only $25 away now from finishing Tuesday's fundraising. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so, so much. And speaking of National Treasure, Dolly Parton, Randy Radar reminds us, Dolly told the rednecks off. She said about the Blue Lives Matter crowd, "You think our white asses are the only thing that matter?" And as Randy Radar says, zing! She also helped fund the Moderna vaccine, which is now referred to, that's now referred to as the Dolly shot. And Mark in Florida said, that $39 is the Nathan Bedford Forest removal cost. At the end of the program, the cowbells are coming fast and free. What a busy evening for a three-hour filler-obster. And just on the way out the door, one little last bit of thorn-in-the-side stupidity. You like Ben & Jerry's ice cream? I like Ben & Jerry's ice cream. I love their strawberry. There's a strawberry cheesecake, and there's a peach cheesecake, something with peach. I love those. New York Super Fudge Chunk is no slouch either, nor is Cherry Garcia, or a personal favorite of some of the girls in his family, Chunky Monkey. It's all good. Well, there is now a culture war against Ben and Jerry's. Now, they've been engaged in progressive politics for a while. They were solidly behind Dennis Kucinich way back when. That's pretty progressive. But now there's a terrible, terrible kerfuffle. Because the company, Ben & Jerry's, announced as follows. "We believe it is inconsistent with our values for Ben & Jerry's ice cream to be sold in the occupied Palestinian territory, the OPT. Although Ben & Jerry's will no longer be sold in the OPT, we will stay in Israel through a different arrangement." But not in the occupied territories. Well, this has occasioned a giant purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy from the Israeli government, who believes that BDS is, boycott, divest, and sanction is terrorism when it's just economic freedom. But by God, Texas is not going to take that laying down. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hegar is going to blacklist Ben & Jerry's so that the Texas state government can't buy no Ben & Jerry's. Now, there's only one problem. They might blacklist them based on a 2017 law that the maggot Texas legislature passed. But the problem is, Texas ain't buying no Ben & Jerry's in the first place, fucking idiots. And so with that, we will go into tomorrow's program at $1,025 to finish the week, and it's badly, badly, badly needed. And I got somebody on hold. Wait a minute, what was I thinking? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's your buddy Mark.
Mark, how's it going, brother?
Yeah, good, brother. How are you? Okay.
I'm okay. Thanks for the Nathan Bedford Forest bust removal cost.
Well, I figured between a dustpan and a broom, I know you're trying to get out of the show.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Between a dustpan and a broom. Yeah.
Well, that's a nice one, actually. Those are good ones. Yeah, no, I just wanted to say what little I know about Nathan Bedford Forrest. Nobody asked my opinion, but you know, living here in Florida, you go to a lot of the convenience stores, and whatever conservative political theme is kind of going on, they actually have ball caps in the gas stations. They're just kind of the off-Broadway gas stations, but they're very uniform in message.
Off-Broadway gas stations?
Yeah, that's the second tier. Not top shelf like your Shells or your, you know, they're not your Cadillac gas stations. It's just right off Broadway style.
Yeah,
in those gas stations, yes. And so in those stations, Robin, there along has been like a running theme with whatever's happening. And, you know, the G.I. Joe hats, the Marine hats, and the Army hats. And I'm like, God, you know, give it a rest. And then, you know, there was no MAGA hat, but people wearing MAGA hats probably would buy those types of hats. And then along came the Nathan Bedford Forrest hats. I'm at, oh, my God, these people are over the top, man. It's all the Southern strategy. And it's just been commercialized like the guy's cigar bar or whatever he was going to do. He was going to spend 5 minutes working for the DEA and my mother works at the Pentagon and I graduated never one of my class. But Nathan Bedford Forrest, from what little I've read, never attacked General Sherman's people. He knew whenever Sherman was in the area and he didn't use his hit and run tactics, which were very successful for what he had to work with. And he caught a lot of Yankees off guard and he hit them before they could get to their rifles and they were gone before they could catch them. And they hit with a very effective fashion. And I would say that another thing I've read about Forrest is the tactics that he used were actually studied by the U.S. Army and used still to this day, believe it or not, in helicopter air assault formations. Now, I couldn't tell you more than that. But I know up to that point that there are some configurations there that go back to that time frame. I know the Germans studied our American Civil War as well, which the clampdown around Petersburg goes to the trench warfare of World War I, essentially, on Belle Woods ultimately. But and that's where the rebel yell, the Tupelhunde, the dogs of hell. Is really the rebel yell that the Germans were hearing as a small group of Marines were able to overcome the Germans somehow psychologically with their shooting skills and whatever. But the other thing about Forrest is that the theory was he never really commanded a large enough units to make a large enough statement. And the theory was he didn't have the psychological wherewithal. He didn't have the presence of mind. He wasn't calculating enough. He wasn't educated enough to where his emotions wouldn't run ahead of him. He wasn't a deep enough thinker, however we would word that or all of that. I don't know. But those are some schools of thought that I have been able to glean from what little I've read. I didn't study him real close because I'm more of a Sherman and Grant fan, but you know, and so was Lincoln. But any case, I just wanted to call and say hello to you in person. And I know that, I'm very proud of you as a person, Robin. Your courage, you wear right on your heart. So it's very much respected, by the way.
Thank
and
you,
I wanted
Mark.
You to know that.
Thank you so very much.
Yep. Yep.
That's so kind
yep.
of you.
So, yeah, you're a good person, Robin. So we all know that. And that's all I got. Nathan Bedford Forrest, his head wouldn't have ended up in the Tennessee Capitol if he would have chosen the right side to fight for, which he never would have, because these people wanted to exploit human beings for their personal gain, and that's really where we still are. And I made my stand, and I'm grateful I did. So, and it just came natural to me. So I grew up in that environment where workers were important, and I don't know so much anymore where I grew up in Central Illinois. It's quite as a fever pitch, but man, we used to go to a lot of union picnics and company picnics where they were power company picnics. And it was well ran and they were very squared away people and, you know, just nice folks. But in any case, everything's constantly changing. And I'll just leave you with that, Robin.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's so good to hear from you. And you broke up and you made sure it wasn't a 3-hour filler robster. And I appreciate that immensely.
Well, I wasn't sure because I'm in and out of the house. And a lot of times because of the home we're in and the amount of people in the house, I'll eat my dinner in the car and listen to the show. And, you're having dinner with me on the East Coast, whether you realize it or not.
Fantastic. I'm enjoying it, too.
All right, brother.
Mark, you have a good evening.
Love you, Robin.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, Robin.
Bye now.
Keep up the good work.
Will
Bye.
Do.
Bye.
See ya. What a perfect way to end the program. Thank you to Mark for jumping in and making sure that this wasn't I feel bad. I feel bad about filler robsters. I really, really do. So thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to everybody who responded this evening to Alma's challenge. And like I said, we'll be at 10:25 for tomorrow. And that's a whopping big Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. But we'll keep trying. So, again, thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand-new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. It'd be a great time to reach out, if you'd like to your member of the House and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the AIC Act, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Please get your vaccine if you haven't already. If you've gotten your vaccine, good for you. And encourage somebody that maybe hasn't gotten theirs yet to get theirs. Tell them it will not make antlers grow out of your head. And we have make West Virginia great big old governor Jim Justice's word on that. You know, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Use it liberally. Wear your mask in appropriate situations. Maintain your social distance as needed among the unvaccinated. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, because of HIPAA, we can't even pray for people not to get the Rona no more or pray for people that got through. Avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later.